He is interested in preserving the character of our neighborhoods and the livability of those neighborhoods. Part of that process is maintaining the current network and ensuring the efficient movement of people and goods throughout the city. Another part is ensuring that children, the elderly, the disabled, all citizens can safely negotiate that network without fear, whether on foot, by bike, or on TriMet. Safe, sound, and green streets will go a long way towards addressing both of those issues. Some may balk at the cost. This proposal has a hefty price tag, but what is the cost of doing nothing? Poor roads increase congestion, increasing travel time, and costs for businesses and residents. Collisions increase health costs. Inefficient use of our network increases noise and air pollution. We don't see these costs as easily as we see a line item on a budget sheet, but they are there. Given the option, I would rather part with a few more dollars and continue to enjoy the wonderful community and wonderful mobility I enjoy today. I hope that you feel the same, and I encourage and request that you support and approve this proposal. Thank you.
Hello again, I'm Bill Barber. I'm a fiscally conservative North Portland homeowner, and I think this is money well spent. I really applaud you. I'm a longtime resident of Portland. I've been biking since the 70s. I remember when all the bike commuters knew each other by name. I also walk. I take the bus and max, and I still manage to put about 10,000 miles a year on my car for work purposes. And my lifestyle depends on the freight movement into this region. So I think this is a proposal that is very multimodal, very holistic. I also worked as a transportation planner for about 30 years. And, if I had a dollar for all the charts that I've seen over the years showing the shortfalls and the deficits, the transportation needs versus the money available for transportation projects, I think I'd be a very rich man. So, again, I think you're being very brave in tackling this. One final thought. I think one area that hasn't been talked about a lot is how this proposal also has some positive impacts on public health. When you look at encouraging people to bicycle and walk, you're encouraging healthy behaviors. As many of you know, we're in an epidemic in this country of obesity and diabetes, for example. And so I'd say to stress the public health benefits as well. And again, great job. Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks.
That's all.
Please read item 66.
Amend city code to provide funding to address Portland street maintenance and transportation safety needs, including at intersections and around schools, reduce traffic congestion, expand the bicycle network, and improve freight mobility as companion to Multnomah County effort to secure funding to replace the Selwood Bridge.
Yes.
I guess before we moved on, I did have an amendment to offer to the ordinance we just heard.
On 66?
Is it 66?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought you moved on to the next one.
It's a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. Not emergency.
Right. Everything.
Well, actually, there are two, aren't there? These two. We vote.
The resolutions, yeah.
Which one is this?
This is 66. Item 66.
66? I'm lost on the numbers.
Right. Yes. Okay. That's where you want the definition to define the administrative costs.
So I would move a definition of administrative cost. You all have it before you. It just basically says administrative costs shall include all expenditures related to public involvement and education, billing, customer services, accounting, collections, project oversight, management, and overhead pertaining to the street maintenance and safety fee program, and shall be subject to the 10% limitation specified in subsection 17.21.220A.
And we could also add it into the oversight one if you'd like to do that for clarity as well, the oversight committee one.
Been seconded. Call a vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Sten.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
There are a series of overarching issues that I just wanted to go through, if that's all right, okay. Raised by the public.
I just want to remind, we have Chair Wheeler still here to testify on item 70, so
Very
sensitive to the fact that he's...
I apologize. I thought he did. Did you want to testify again?
No, on a separate
next set
issue.
Of items for the animal control.
Oh, is that why he's here?
Yeah. You're very fascinating.
He just can't get enough of this. He just can't get enough of the transportation.
He was riveted by this. You're here for the animals? All right, then I'm going to go through. I will go through, I promise, very quickly.
Here's an opportunity to jam your agenda, Sam.
Yeah. Jam my agenda, yes. Very quickly, I'll run through these and some of the key concerns that have been raised. The ULF. Part of the Oversight Committee, we would allow them to make a request for ULF resources from the City Council. City Council will be able to do what they want with that, but on an annual budget basis, they would be able to make requests of the ULF. In terms of making the fee structure, Corky raised the concern about making the fee structure complicated. The complication occurs on sort of the backroom operations of this. What the public gets is a bill for their charges. The business will get a bill for their charges. So we feel confident that we'll be able to deal with the complications but make it simple for the public. We will track the low-income discount. We will be continue the work to do Green Streets in cooperation with BES. The Oversight Committee, as impaneled, Marianne talked about potential changes to that, is a very powerful group in this process, being able to make recommendations directly from directly to the City Council. This is a program based on trips. The gas tax is contemplated as part of the solution here as well. It is a declining resource on a cost-of-service basis. In terms of paying for the problem out of the current city budget, the $422 million backlog would consume almost the entire city budget. In terms of adding another tax to businesses, this city council has reduced, estimated to reduce the tax burden on 9,000 businesses with BLF reform. We've kept system development charges flat, and we've increased the discounts for businesses outside the central city. We've worked very hard to improve the permitting center. We've made a number of steps to improve the business climate for the city, and I believe this is consistent with that, and it's why it has significant business support. Talked about cell phones already. Curb extensions and a lot of the work that we do, for instance, somebody mentioned, you know, light rail and such. The bulk of the resources to fund transit come out of different pots of money. I know that can be very complicated to the public. If I could wave a magic wand and make transportation funding resources simpler, I would, but I can't. We either take those transit resources or some other city gets them. You cannot do a bait and switch. In terms of the statewide gas tax, we estimate it would take between a 24 and a 27% per gallon gas tax increase based on the existing funding formula to start us on a program of digging out of this over 10 or 15 years. I don't see that happening, and I don't see the formula being tweaked that much. And I think to suggest otherwise is disingenuous. This is a predictable tax once it's in place. It is predictable in terms of how much it would grow. I'm curious to talk to Kathy Leathers more how $80 represents 0.2% increase on her pumps. I look forward to learning more about how that adds up. This was not a handpicked committee. We invited representatives from the various stakeholders to send representatives to the committee, and I don't know about everybody from AAA to Elders in Action. I don't know how you can get a more diverse committee than the one that was put together. In terms of one of the testifiers talked about, it should be a gas tax, but bikes should pay. Those are two diametrically competing thoughts because bicyclists don't pay the gas tax. So you can't have it both ways in terms of discussing this. We've sought to, I think this is just as the state of Washington recognized that transportation is important, just as we know we're the third most trade and transportation dependent region in the nation. I believe this is good for the economy. It creates jobs. We have to take care of our own system, and we've worked very hard. Polling shows that a majority of Portlanders, likely voters, do support this. And it is a question of leadership. The 19 street safety and maintenance fees that have been enacted across Oregon, that are in place in Oregon, have been enacted. In terms of, last point I'll make, in terms of geographic equity, on the map, on your first map, you'll see up here in the upper right corner, by coalition area, where the monies go by coalition area, and the largest, the coalition with the largest expenditure is East Portland, followed by Southwest. And given the relative poor conditions of East Portland and Southwest, that's appropriate. Thank you for giving me a chance to respond.
Hey, this is a non-emergency, moves to a second reading. What is the date for the second reading, Sue?
It should be next
16th,
next Wednesday.
Morning.
Okay.
Please read item 67.
Establish a Portland Safe, Sound, and Green Streets Independent Oversight Committee to ensure the effective delivery of projects and services.
It's a non-emergency and moves to a second reading the same time.
Same time.
Please read item 68.
Support Multnomah County efforts to raise funds to address maintenance and safety deficiencies of the Selwood Bridge and other transportation infrastructure throughout the county.
Resolution, call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Please read item 69.
Review funding for Portland Office of Transportation derived from the state gas tax after the outcome of the 2009 Oregon State Legislative Session.
Resolution, call a vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Please, we'll go to the 3 p.m. time certain. Misnomer. Please read the two items together. Is that okay, Commissioner Leonard? Have them both read at the same time?
Yes.
This is item 70 and 71. Create a joint city-county task force to study options to provide animal services in the city. Number 71, revise specified animal regulations to more closely align with Multnomah County practices and policies, and revise noise provision to address animal noises created by legally permitted facilities.
Commissioner Leonard?
Thank you. If you'll recall, Council, at last budget year, had discussions with the county about some tentative decisions they'd made with respect to animal control services in the city, which included a proposal at that time to, in addition to not following up on barking dog complaints or noise complaints, picking up dead animals. We met, we talked about it, agreed to sit down and have this discussion. We've had, Chair Wheeler and I have had great discussions about this. I think they're really proactive and fruitful talks. This resolution you're looking at here actually was in front of the county 2 weeks ago, Chair Wheeler?
Yes, correct.
2 weeks ago, so I went over and testified on this resolution over there. He now is here today. What we're not wanting to do today is make a decision about this, but rather we thought we needed to have a more thoughtful process where we have folks from the city, we have folks from the county sit down, and look at what would be involved in the city providing animal control services, which would include the city retaining the license fees that are currently collected on behalf of pet owners by the county, and what the impact of that would be. The purpose of this is really simple. I mean, I think people in Portland care less who provides the service than a service be provided. And as our community becomes more and more dense, and of course Portland is full of animal lovers, we have more and more animals, you have conflicts, and there has to be a way to sort those issues out. Clearly the county is focused on providing services that human services and jail services that they're struggling to come up with the funds to meet. this is an area that I think we need to take an honest look at and see exactly who is the best provider of these kinds of services and what level of support needs to be funded to do an adequate level. And so, Chair Wheeler, thank you for being here very much. I'm sorry you had to sit here through the entire last debate, but I really appreciate you being here. Thanks. Yes, please.
Thank you very much. And Commissioner Leonard, it was completely worth my time. First of all, I was eager to hear what people were going to say about the Safe Sounds and Green Street measure. And I also appreciate your support. It was worth the entire afternoon to be here to hear that, and
you're
cannot.
You're saying that with a very straight face. I'm impressed.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I mean, really, it helps us move the ball forward, and I think it's an important statement, and I really, truly do appreciate it. Commissioner Leonard, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for, first of all, the partnership that we've developed in the last year. I think, to be very frank about this, in part, I think this project and this relationship has developed as a result of what we experienced last year during the budget process. And I think, you know, I can at least speak for myself and say I've learned from that experience. I think this is a great example of how we can work together proactively and address our mutual needs, particularly in this case around animal services. You are correct. The Board of County Commissioners did passed this resolution 2 weeks ago. We did it with the support of Commissioner Leonard, who came over and testified about his particular interest in helping us move this forward. And I just want to talk a little bit about what this resolution will do. It's going to create a joint committee of both city and county staffs who will work together. And Mike Oswald, who's the head of our animal services, is here as well to help us answer any questions. And we're also going to engage community partners to really study the feasibility of how we provide animal services in the city of Portland. It's going to help us protect the health, the safety, the welfare of our citizens. I believe it protects our pets, which are very important throughout our area, but in particular in the city of Portland. We're known as one of the most pet-friendly cities in the entire United States of America. It obviously, with regard to some of the code enforcement and nuisance issues, it gets to the livability of the city of Portland and Multnomah County. And not unimportantly, we're going to establish a sustainable funding strategy for what we all agree is a very important service that we need to provide. Here's what we're not going to do, and Commissioner Leonard and I are in full agreement on this. We're not going to reinvent the wheel. There have been several study groups, task forces, in the past, and we don't need to go back and redo all of the work they've done. However, to honor that work that was done, much of which was never implemented, I think we owe it to those previous groups, and frankly, we owe it to ourselves to take a look at the recommendations of those past task forces and figure out how those recommendations fit into our current strategy. There were two task forces in particular. There was the 2000 Citizens Task Force report. In 2000, there was a National Animal Control Association assessment. And then, of course, there was also the County Auditor's Report in 2001, which is still entirely relevant today. So we're going to see which one of those recommendations are still feasible. We're going to prioritize those recommendations. We're going to include specific recommendations on how those prioritized issues should be funded. And then the task force, which will which will meet for up to 6 months, is going to report back to the city and the county in November of 2008. So we'll have an opportunity to see what those recommendations are and have a chance then at that point to deliberate it, refine it, do whatever we need to do to actually enact it. So just in closing, I just want to say, Commissioner Leonard, I really appreciate this opportunity to work with you. Again, I'm pleased to have spent an afternoon here partnering with the city of Portland, and I hope we do this far more often going forward. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair Wheeler. We have staff here if you have any questions. Lori Grants from the city, Mike Oswald from the county. These are both two folks that either are experts or developing expertise in Lori's case in this area, and they're happy to answer any questions.
The only question I had or recommendation was to ensure that when you're looking at the scope of work, either for the city or the county or combined, in terms of cost as far as program cost. I would like you to also look at the cost of enforcement of a program within the city.
That's intricate in okay. Well, that's good. Actually probably what motivated this whole yeah. effort was that part.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And the idea is, and Lori Graham is from the Bureau of Development Services, and the idea is if this were to evolve to the point and the council would think it would be a good idea that these services would be provided there, because believe it or not, they are currently involved in some animal control issues in terms of siting of these of the up and, which is how I got involved in this siting of these animal daycare centers that are becoming more and more prevalent in Portland, and the location sometimes of them right next to neighborhoods, as you can imagine, has caused some problems. And because of the two jurisdictions, we haven't approached this as well as we could, and we think this might be a way to resolve that as well.
I have only one point of order. I'm the animal control liaison.
You are. Be careful what you ask for.
That's a point by Mayor Potter. Just
be
kidding.
What you ask for.
Just kidding. I willingly cede my jurisdiction.
I appreciate that tidbit of information, and I will pass that along.
Because Ted has begun forwarded to me some of the emails he gets on this issue.
No, it's one of those things buried in my portfolio assignment from the mayor, but it's there. But I willingly cede control over this to Commissioner Leonard.
Wise move.
Yeah, there should be a ceremony marking the transfer of power.
Roof, roof.
Further questions from the council? Nothing?
This vote, yes.
Further questions from the council? Was there any folks signed up to testify on this matter?
Corey, you have anything to say? You're one of the few people left.
The only person left.
Yeah. Oh, now we have two over here.
Is there anybody here? Do we have a sign-up sheet?
You know, we did. It's out front. I didn't bring it in.
Is there anyone here who wishes to address this matter?
We outlasted them.
Okay.
You're in order.
Thank you, folks. Please call the vote.
Adams.
Well, for your perseverance, Chair Wheeler, I'm going to vote for this. You were here almost all day. And I've thought about this issue very closely, and I think it makes a lot of sense to look at. And I'm glad you're leading it.
Thank you.
Aye.
Leonard.
And thank you again, Ted, for all the work and working with us on this. And we're working on other things as well together. So I'm really enjoying our developing working relationship on this and a number of other issues. It's, I think, serves all of us really well. Aye.
He never says that about me.
No, I don't.
Sussman.
I'm very pleased to support this, although you do have a new bar to clear with the City County Task Force. It's got to be 90 people. Aye.
Many different species.
Well, thanks to both of you for your work. It feels much better than last year when we ran into this argument, and I think it bodes very well. So, Chair Wheeler, it's terrific. Aye.
Potter.
Thanks for your endurance, Ted. I vote aye.
Just have your graffiti tattoo.
Please read item 71.
Revise specified animal regulations to more closely align with Multnomah County practices and policies, and revise noise provisions to address animal noises created by legally permitted facilities.
This relates to some of what we discussed in the prior resolution. Lori can explain it if you'd like, or it's more a cleanup of language. And
you have a 30-second version?
I do.
Good.
I have a 30-second version. Mayor Potter, Commissioner Leonard, members of the council, my name is Lori Graham from the Bureau of Development Services. It does two things. The first thing it does is in Title 13, which is our animal permanent facilities, is it increases consistency with the county's practices, and the county is set currently with enforcing those regulations. We got rid of some problems we created earlier in life. We're cleaning those up. The second thing it does is it gives us an enforcement tool in Title 18 that Commissioner Leonard alluded to regarding noise, in allowing us to look at permitted facilities, legally permitted facilities that currently There's been some question about how we get there, and this clearly gives us an enforcement tool.
So
was that quick enough?
That's excellent. Outstanding.
If you clarified, so I have chickens in my backyard, and if they make
the law,
they make too much noise,
except somebody out this evening.
Permitted. So they're not. I'm not required to have a permit because I only have two. They make noise. Not covered by this.
But if you
can't have a rooster.
I don't have a rooster.
Can't have a rooster.
No rooster.
And only so many pot-bellied pigs.
Three chickens? Is it three chickens?
I think it's three.
No, 16 no pot-bellied pigs. Is that a problem?
Then you would need to be a permitted animal cell facility, and if they were very loud, potentially.
Okay, don't tell anybody.
Further questions? It's a non-emergency. Moves to a second reading. Thank you. We're adjourned until next week.
Thanks again.
Well, I appreciate it very much.
Thanks. Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm glad you like it.
Thanks for sticking around.
Sam, good job.